All right. Next segment, sing of the praises of Charlie Widmer, Connecticut's new state troubadour. So pleased to be checking in with Charlie from his home down here in northern New Haven County. We will be chatting with him about this exciting development in his professional life and a lot of the things that he hopes to do during his tenure as Connecticut's state troubadour. But we do want to remind you of another type of musical opportunity. Goodspeed Musicals is proudly announcing their Goodspeed Summer Song Weekend, I'm sorry, week-long summer theater program for kids that culminates in a showcase of Annie Jr. This is designed for youths ages 9 to 14. Goodspeed Summer Song is taught by Goodspeed Musicals' highly regarded professional staff. Every day is going to be filled with classes focused on singing, dancing, and acting as the students prepare for their end-of-the-week showcase of Annie Jr. for family and friends. Goodspeed Summer Song is going to run from July 6th through the 10th. Classes are Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, and there's a discount for the tuition if you register by March 1st. Registration begins in a couple of days, February 3rd, and space is limited. If you'd like to learn more and to register, just go to goodspeed.org/summersong. All right. Good morning, Charlie. How you doing?
John, thanks for having me. I'm doing great. Happy to be on.
So are you one of these guys that maybe either got your start or supplemented your start in elementary or middle school musicals and theater programs?
You guessed it, man. Honestly, as soon as you started advertising Goodspeed's thing, I wrote it down. I got to send some of my students that way because for me, the start was exactly that with many years ago in an elementary school musical. That, you know, took me almost years to remember I was even in, and then into a high school musical that changed everything for me.
Oh, that's great. And you are an instrumentalist as well?
Yes, yeah. I've been playing guitar for pretty much 2/3 of my life and piano for almost the same amount. So, you know, those instruments are what I lean on a lot, and especially guitar. I call myself a frustrated guitarist.
Yeah, I kind of identify myself as a, you know, a chunky first position guy. So all good. Well, let's hear a little bit more about you. Are you a kind of a proximate Naugatuck Valley guy?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, I my heart's kind of in two places in Connecticut. I started my American journey when I was 4 years old. My mom is American and was from Danbury, Connecticut, and my dad is Swiss. And so, you know, I was born in Zurich, Switzerland, and we moved to Danbury, Connecticut when I was about 4 years old. So that was like the first chunk of my, you know, adolescence was kind of Danbury and that place and understanding that place. And then we moved to Oxford, Connecticut, the Valley, when I was in seventh grade, which was a big shift, you know, going from a place like Danbury where we had, you know, 1,000 kids in the middle school to a really small town kind of thing where everybody knows not just the first name, but the last name of everyone.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it really started to shape me and change me into a different person. And that's where I really kind of found my music roots, made great friends that were, some of them were, you know, there's no other way to put it, but prodigies in music. Mm. And it was really inspiring in middle school. And then when I got to the high school, I was kind of playing guitar and finding myself. And then I went in for an audition at the Oxford High School's, you know, musical on a whim my junior year. And, you know, no clue I could sing or anything. And I got the lead role in Grease. And that pretty much is what just flipped my entire life upside down. Because after that, I felt, okay, maybe I need to at least explore this thing.
So it was all about the Grease Lightning.
That's right, man. You know, I'll tell you, trying to learn the dance routine for that was hard. And I still really, honestly, you know, I, you know, in musical theater, we have like terms for the different levels of dancers, and like a dancer is the type of person that can jump and kick themselves in the back of the head.
Right, right.
And then, you know, then a mover is somebody, you know, who can take direction.
Yeah, I was going to say, then there's the slug. That's my that's my talent, dancing. So that's great. Did you go on from there to kind of lean more heavily into musical theater, or kind of, you know, walk the tightrope between, you know, developing your instrumental abilities at the same time? How did that all work out?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I got this lead role, like I said, and my life just completely took on a new direction. It felt like I was being called to this or something, and I just kind of understood, you know, I had zero technique as a singer, and yet people were kind of reacting in a way I'd never experienced when I would just kind of open my mouth and start singing. So for me, it kind of became, I became aware of like, all right, maybe my instrument has something going on here. And I've got to like learn how to really utilize it if I want to get everything out of it. So then I did the senior year musical, which was West Side Story. And again, I was honored enough to get the lead in that. And so I played Tony in this and got to really show off my acting chops and like learn how to act better. And again, I got even further obsessed with this. So I did, I don't know if it was the wisest thing, but I just figured what's the hardest type of singing there is in the world? Opera. So I'll try and get into a school for classical singing. And so at first I got rejected from every single school I auditioned for, because again, I had no good, I didn't have a teacher at the time. I was kind of going off of just gut instinct and thinking that talent would be enough. And, then I found my music mentor, Eric Trudell, who kind of pushed me in the right direction. And so then I re-auditioned for all these programs and decided, since I was already doing some gen eds at WestCon, to start there. And ended up just in being absolutely sucked into and enamored by these incredible teachers and this amazing program that we had. So WestCon is where I got my 4-year degree in music. And, you know, I ended up becoming a classical singer in that phase in my life. And pretty much still am really deeply rooted in that.
Mm-hmm. So full circle back to Danbury. That
was
great.
Yeah, it was exactly. It was crazy to kind of be like, wow, I'm here back where I started everything. And this place that I had a lot of memories, you know, I knew really well. So it was, you know, but I didn't know it in that way with all these incredible, because we're so lucky in Connecticut to have New York City right over the border.
Yes.
And so you have all these teachers that need, you know, jobs.
Yeah.
You know, we had Grammy winning professors,
that's
you know,
right. Yes.
And they, you know, just happen to live in Danbury or nearby. Yeah. So it was, I mean, absolutely fundamental to who I am is everything I learned at WestCon. And I mean, talk about a rigorous program. We had 12-hour days every single day. It was brutal. You know, it was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. But I was able to eventually go from a nobody to finally winning a supporting role in an opera, learning what that's like to sing with an orchestra, then lead roles and scholarships and all of these awards. I mean, they pushed me to be more than I could have ever dreamed out of myself.
So you're really rooted in education, but also a big part of what I hear is the responsibility you want to take on as Connecticut State Troubadour is also as a diplomatic force for the songwriting and creative musical community. So let's start with your goals to elevate especially young artists, musical creatives, and songwriters.
Well, you know, John, I'm so glad you bring that up because, you know, one of the things that no matter how great an education I got, one of the things that's glaringly left out of most programs is the last and final piece, which is this is how you survive. And so that doesn't just go for songwriters that, you know, there is this vague kind of understanding of like, well, you go maybe audition or maybe you get agents or maybe a manager or, but there is no roadmap or what are those roles defined by, or how do you even find these people, let alone how do you generate income on your own? So when you get out of school, it's kind of almost like goodbye and good luck, not in a bad way. They've done what they told you they were going to do, make you into a better artist and a well-rounded, you know, a creative in that respect.
Yeah.
But then you're kind of left there with, you know, nothing in your hands.
Right,
saying,
right.
How do I get a gig? So, you know, I know what that feeling is like. And the two things that I really, as Troubadour, want to make sure that I can have happen is one is maybe we can bring programs that are necessary to these places, whether it's middle schoolers, high schoolers, or college students, even up to grad programs that help them develop the tools to be entrepreneurs and business owners, because that's not really discussed enough as to what you are once you are an artist on your own. And the other part of it to help champion them in that way would be to not just give them the tools, but also on another level, show them how to manage some of the business elements that, you know, creatives like myself and many of my colleagues, almost it's just, you know, out of the pan and into the fire kind of thing.
Yeah, the business.
So, you know,
I was going to say, the business end of the music business is a dark and scary place.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's unfortunate that we still don't have any kind of guiding posts or lights, or we do, but sometimes those are even people grifting or stealing. So, you know, and that's really the other half of this, which is when you start off, it shouldn't be that there is all of these potential holes you fall into. Like, I'm sure you've heard of the whole pay to play gigs.
Sure.
And every single professional artist has gone through that experience where at some point they get this great opportunity to play this great venue. And oh my goodness. And for me, it was me and my young band. And we were all in our 20s and we're like, this is awesome. We're going to get to play. I can't even remember the name of the venue here in Connecticut. It was, the underground, in Hamden.
Oh yes. Yes.
And,
sure.
And so we were all excited, like, it's going to be amazing. And it wasn't the venue or anything. It was a separate guy that was organizing. It became pay to play. You know,
yeah,
where it was like, oh, if you sell 20 tickets, you can get on stage. But that's like, just give me X amount of money and I'll put you on a stage is what that means.
Yeah, no. I 20 years earlier for me, it was the right. same thing with the band. It's like they'd hand you a stack of tickets and
Dude,
they'd say, here's 50 tickets. All you
got
to do
exactly.
is have 20 of these turned in at the door by the time you're
right.
done with your set and you'll get paid.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's like, what a great idea, dude. Thank you.
Right. And that's, you get it exactly, John. That,
yes.
that's the beginning place for a lot of people. Or then you end up going to these venues where the offerings, I don't want to put anybody on, you know, on blast or anything like that.
Yeah.
But you end up going to these venues where the offer, seriously, for people with college degrees in music who can play their instrument at the highest levels imaginable.
Yes.
The offer is seriously, we'll give you $50 for your 6-person band and free drinks. Mm-hmm. And that's just not, I just am at a point in my life where I no longer can stay silent
yeah.
and watch this continue to happen to young artists. Because for me, I was riding the energy of a dream and always have had, I think, an abundance of energy compared to the average person for that. But what about that other person that just 2 or 3 gut punches like that is just 2 or 3
Right, right. What a good point you
know?
Make, because for so many of us, the making of music, regardless of the compensation, is a joyful thing. And when
right.
you run smack dab into the negative side of the business end of things, how many fantastic talents has even Connecticut lost to time
yep.
because they
Absolutely.
Just said, I'm not bending over anymore for these guys. I'm going to go
right.
do retail. I'm going to go
right.
back and get my master's in business. I'm going to whatever.
Exactly.
I'm married,
especially,
have a family.
You know,
get,
John,
yeah.
To that point, especially in COVID, especially when COVID hit, to watch how many of my incredibly talented colleagues, people that I looked up to, walk away.
Mm.
It was too much. They no longer could figure it out. They were barely figuring it out before. And again, it's maybe it's not directly on these schools because maybe they don't have the answers themselves, but it's time for something different. And so that's why when I submitted my application for a Troubadour, I made sure to include this bit because I do know that means it's more legwork and maybe a different kind of angle to just being an artist. But you know, I come from a home of people who, my stepfather was the chief of staff to the mayor of New Haven and was a strong political figure for many years here in Connecticut, simply doing right by his community. And I have a deep desire to do the same. So with this title, you can bet that in the next 3 years, I'm going to do everything I can to try and even move this 1% better. Because it's just, as you said, there's definitely great artists who are wit's end right now who feel as though they don't have the tools who are leaving this behind. And that's tragic.
Yeah. Well, we cannot leave our conversation without spending the last few minutes just looking forward and giving our listeners an idea of what the public face of the Connecticut State Troubadour. What are your your short term goals, assignments, missions, aside from this fantastic advocacy that you're already fired up to apply? What is the gig schedule look like for Connecticut State Troubadour?
Well, you know, that's I'm so happy you asked. It's been, for me, this moment couldn't have come at a better time. You know, I'm part of a bluegrass band here in Connecticut. We like to call ourselves a modern acoustic quartet called On the Trail. And this is our 8th year as a group. We have been rising and rising and rising for years. We made our Nashville debut last year. We made our international debut last summer in Canada. I have my own record of music. So, I mean, just to go in the small pieces, you know, next month I'm back in Nashville with my bluegrass band and we're performing a couple gigs. We have shows galore, including, this is going to air, I believe, after this. But tomorrow we make our Seven Angels Theater debut in Waterbury. Yeah. And so, you know, for me as an artist, it's more projects with my bluegrass band. It's the release of a full-length album under my own name that I have recorded, mixed, and mastered while I was in my birth country of Switzerland. Mm-hmm. Under the guidance and mentorship of one of Switzerland's biggest rock stars, a guy named Baji. And so I have this album that I cannot wait to put into the world that will come by the end of this year, and many other little side artist projects that are in development, and I just can't wait for them to unfold as things go. And of course, almost every weekend gigs and things to play. So if people want to keep up, they can follow on my website for sure.
So in terms of representing the state as the troubadour, you will start to build a schedule of, like, you know, going out to schools and things like that, know, doing public appearances as the Connecticut State Troubadour, with or without other colleague musicians and stuff like that, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I'm already in discussion with a lot of different school districts over workshops and school visits and coming in to talk to kids. This is something I've done in the past, partnering with Saltmarsh Opera to go to schools and talk about being a classical singer and the skills needed and the different types of voices. This is something I've done with the New Haven Symphony as well, to talk about different aspects of music. And now I'll be doing under my own name. Both as about songwriting or many of the different elements of what it takes to be a well-rounded musician and a creative. So workshops, public events, concerts, my schedule is going to be very full, and I'm really excited to do so because this is an honor beyond anything I would have ever imagined for myself to represent my home state now.
And it all started with Grease Lightning.
Grease Lightning, man.
Systematic. Hydrostatic. Very good. Charlie Widmer is Connecticut's newly named Connecticut State Troubadour right here in Western Connecticut. But you will be seeing him in all corners of our great state over his tenure. And I'm sure we will be talking with him again here on the award-winning For the People. Charlie, in the meantime, best of luck. Stay safe. And I can't wait to chat again and meet up with you. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, John. I hope to be back soon and wish you all the best in this new year.